Well, good morning, everyone. I can't believe we're up in May already of 2013. That's almost half the year gone. The older you get, the faster the time goes. Remember that, young people. So it's racing on by. So I just bless the Lord. But in light of Ted's ordination today, I did want to speak a little bit about the discipline of sacrifice. There's many spiritual disciplines, but the discipline of sacrifice is tremendously important to us all. And my dear friend Ted, where are you back there? Dogman, you've been called to serve, therefore you've been called to sacrifice. You know sacrifice from your years faithfully serving this country and by serving in Vietnam. You gave it your all there, and I know that you will give it your all here. God is truly with you. Amen. But I did want to remind us that you can do that. You can do this. For those who can't see the little slide presentation, is a kind of a funny picture of Ted here, and this is how the world may see you, Ted. And there's a picture of an infant. But this is how God sees you, and it's a picture of an infant, and it's really true. And it should be a humbling experience in terms of service. We come broken. Your thinker is broken. Your wanter is broken. Your feeler is broken. The Adam nature is broken. That's the inheritance from the error and the sin of Adam. That's why the restoration in Jesus Christ is imperative. It is not religion. It is relationship. Man has taken his broken thinker, wanter, and feeler and made some sort of logistical mess out of loving the Lord, full of laws and full of wrath and full of goofy, whatever knows differences. This is an almighty God who has so much love for us in our broken state that he is willing that even though we look like this to the world, that he sees us as these precious new clean babes. When you are born again in Jesus Christ, that means that your natural birth, which gave you the Adam nature, is superseded, if you let it, with the nature of God that comes within. That is why you end up being able to walk without sin, not your personal strength, your personal thoughts. Too many Christians are teaching what they believe and not what the truth is. Our quest is for the truth. And that's the encouragement as well as the admonition to Ted and all those that God calls to the forefront in Amen. Ministry. So you are as a babe. That means it's going to be feeding and nurturing. Don't think that those that stand up here and share have it all together. Sometimes God has looked over the earth and chosen the worst of the lot to do this, to show, to prove, look what I can do with that which is impossible. Ted and I both served in Vietnam. 40 years ago, if you'd ever said, either one of us would have been ordained and preaching the holy, pure truth of God, you'd have bought another round at the bar. And I think God does this purposely to show, look what I can do. Just let me be your motor. Just let me be how you think. Let me be how you feel. Let me be how you want. He will not force us. That would be spiritual rape. Give me access to you. And then let me rule. Let me come out. Just give me a place in your heart. All he needs is a willing heart. He does the rest. That's why the battle's his and not ours. That's why all the glory goes to him. Oh, you wrote a book. I know. But it's not me. Someone just recently said to me today, I'm not going to point her out. Her initials are, you know, LF, but she said, I read that, and that sounded just like a professional writer. And I said, well, thanks. I love you, too. It really is a measure. I'm left-brained. I'm not right-brained, artsy-fartsy. The book I started to write was my typical kind of book, a teaching book, informative charts and things on poverty. And it was originally going to be called, it's the morality stupid, not just the economy. It's the bribery, lies, and corruption that are the problem, not capitalism or being rich and all. I was going to show you how it... You see? Eh? And God goes, no. I said, but I already wrote the whole book, God. He goes, no. Yes, you wrote it. I want to write this one.
Amen.
Whoa. Had to lay the pen down. Had to kind of go back over it again. I said, God, I don't know how to do this. Ted, you're going to say that 100 times as you go to minister, with the veterans as well as all the others that you minister to. Mm-hmm. God, I don't know how to do this. That's not admitting stupidity. That's the best thing you can do. Say, God, I defer to you. I don't know how to do this. I admit your greatness. I admit your power. I don't know how to do this. But I'm willing to die to myself and have you flow through me. There's no greater work to do. See, we serve that upside down God. You got to die to live. You got to give to get. The world doesn't understand any of this. You don't understand any of this up here. It only comes by the power, his transforming power in your heart. We're all full of information about God. You got to make that trip down here to your heart and have a transformation. All the people full of information are not going to stand before God. Only those who have been changed into his image are going to be there. Now, you have to have some knowledge. But with all you're getting, you got to get understanding. Otherwise, it's just laws and logistics. They're all left-brain Christians out here. No. This is relationship. You, personally, separate from anyone who might teach you. Anything you might hear, anything you might do, you and God. You dying, him living. So, so powerful. Hey, God might even allow me to do the sermon I came up with this morning, too. I don't know. That wasn't in the script, but that's in God's script. But anyways. The key verse in our studies, if you want to turn to Philippians 3:10, I took a look in the Amplified Bible. It gave me a little bit more information that I wanted to share with you in terms of our sacrifice and our discipline of sacrifice today. And I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified says, "For my determined purpose," is it? Only you can answer that. "For my determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may," meaning that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that continues, and this is the powerful, powerful part, "and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, death to life, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so..." You don't want to read this part. Close the book quickly. "That I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death." You see, Jesus is our word picture, people. He didn't die just for nothing. It's a lot mixed up in this. Death means, the life is in the blood. He gave up his life, you see. Covenants made back then were different than now. They break every covenant, including marriage today. Just get a lawyer, redo another one. God never breaks his covenant with his people. It required the animal sacrifices. Pagans did human sacrifices, if you don't remember. That's where the broken thinker will bring you. The animal sacrifices showed a picture of blood being shed, a death occurring. There's always this death and life theme throughout the scriptures and all of the teaching. Adam is death, Jesus is life. You on your own is death, with God it's life. It's constantly there. It's a picture. The only one worthy to make it right between God and us was Jesus, the pure one. The deity himself, he left heaven, came in the form of man to show, "Listen, I know what's going on in your hearts. I am here. I feel the heat." He sweat. He used the Benjo ditch. He ate. He had mosquito bites and cuts and whatever. He saw things. He felt things. He was tempted in every way. He was a man. I know he was tempted. But he never gave in, because he constantly did what we can do today. He let the Spirit of God within be what came out and not anything else. Now, he was sinless. It didn't mean it was easier. He was sinless. You can be sinless too. No time before Jesus could anyone be sinless. All of the things from the patriarchs and the kings and the judges up to the law and Moses was only to hold back the wrath of God. And those were considered righteous who obeyed under whatever epoch they were born in. And when Adam died and Moses, they all went, they didn't go to heaven. People don't understand that. They went to a waiting place for those that were righteous. There's an example of that in the chasm, and a man wanted to put water on his tongue and please help me and all this kind of stuff. No, there was a separation between the righteous and the unrighteous. You cannot come into the glorious presence of God unclean, and every man not forgiven by Jesus Christ and having him inside of him is unclean. People don't like to hear that. We are unclean. We are made clean in Jesus Christ. It is so powerful. But you're not born that way. And when you're born in Christ, you're like that little baby. You have to learn everything about the Lord, just like a baby. What a great example. So when Jesus died, he was showing you have to go all the way to the death of your flesh. Now, he's not saying to take a sword and hit you like, you know, people do when they cut their foreheads. He's not saying to live in a cave and only eat brown rice and take cold showers. He's not saying to beat your body. He's not talking about bodily affliction. He's talking about you being in control of the spiritual afflictions. Mm-hmm. But he died to make it right with God. And the word picture continues today. But when you're born, Ted was that age and size and inability when he was born. His dad is here today. And I'm sure he would remember the day he was born. We look at Ted, former professional wrestler, big security guy, former Vietnam vet. I mean, you know, you don't want to meet him in a dark alley somewhere. But he wasn't born like that. Yeah,
I thought you were his cane now.
He wasn't born like that. He had to be taught. He had to be fed. He had to be dressed. He had to have his diapers changed. But he grew up to be a man. And now he's a man of God. He's going to be ordained today.
Wow. Hallelujah.
What a difference God can make in your life. That which was unclean has been made clean, and not only clean, full, and pressing it out to others. So the key words here are continually transformed. A baby doesn't stay a baby. I mean, hello, God uses these word pictures for us to teach us. He tells us, he shows us, he inspires us, he gives that to us. It's absolutely powerful. Now, of all the disciplines, sacrifice most closely aligns with the character and the mission of Jesus. We hate that word, though. We don't like the word sacrifice. Now, I want to make it clear. This discipline of sacrifice means every one of us must have this discipline of sacrifice, not just those that are called to minister. And what does minister mean? To serve. So, ministers, unfortunately, the broken thinker, feeler, and wanter brings them to this high level. They're up there with politicians and the rich and all the rest. Wait a minute. How long is going to be washing the feet of those in prison? You know what I mean? Hello. What are you doing? You might have a position of authority, a position over many people, or not. But the ministry is not to have accolades to you. The ministry is to have accolades to God.
Amen.
And God should be working on your humility all day, every day, because we come puffed up. We're so full of ourselves. I always tell people, your best day with me is when I'm not me. Well, you're full of opinion. How I was brought up was different, what I was exposed to, all of the details of my life. They have a tendency, the world, the flesh, and the devil have a tendency to get in your head, to get in your life. I'm getting excited. I'm speaking Boston. I'm not putting my R's in there, but I'll try and work on that. Oh! Now, when we talk about sacrifice, we know it hurts. Big ouch. We don't like to hear anything that goes on like that. But in the discipline of sacrifice, once you start sacrificing, or if anything comes up where you have to make a choice to sacrifice, it starts to remind you that life doesn't revolve around us. There's someone else besides us. So when we do that, most of us don't like that. In a life in the Lord, you start getting exposed to a lot more, and you, I don't want to say get used to it, it becomes part of the flow of God that comes out from you. So it's not you doing anything. It's not you getting powerful. It's not you getting humble. It's not you getting smart. It's you getting dead. And what comes out is the Lord. And you can, beyond a shadow of a doubt, say, you know, that happened because of the Lord. Oh, but you prayed. Hello? You can go ask your father for $20. You ain't got nothing till you get $20 in your hand. It's God dealing with you. We asked, but God dealt with you. The praise goes to Him. The glory goes to Him. The honor goes to Him. And we can say we're not like that. We can say, oh, I'm sacrificial. I do this all the time. Yeah, okay, guys, when you get home from work, put your feet up and ask your wife to bring you iced tea, or do you jump right in? As Tony Evans says, guys, when you come home from work, I want you to know you're going home to your second full-time job. Jump in there.
Amen.
God knows. Amen. The women are doing the little amen a little bit louder than the men. The men are kind of squirming in their seats right now. Discipline of sacrifice. Now, if you don't know you're selfish, there are some hints here. If you lean more to selfish than to sacrifice, it could be that you always live for my comfort, my desires, my dreams, my plans, rather than your life being all about God. You see, when your life's all about God, you're going to tend to your wife a lot differently. You're going to tend to your husband a lot differently. You're going to tend to your children, your neighbor, your employer, employee a lot differently. When it's God that fills you, you're going to have everything covered. You're going to have a wise remark. So when your wife says, do I look fat in this dress? God is going to just fill your mouth with whatever answer is going to be wisest for the building up and the encouragement of whoever it is that you're speaking to. You see, this God isn't just wanting you sitting down in church and doing religious things. We live in a world where you have to go to work, where you have to raise children, where you have to make decisions left and right, whether you buy a car or don't, or what you happen, and that dog poops in my yard all the time. Well, then go pick it up. I mean, I don't care what it is. God's going to give you strength. He's going to give you purity. He's going to give you wisdom. You will handle whatever natural occurrence happens supernaturally. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a fight your whole life, because you has been in charge a long time in most instances. It's going to be a fight for you to put yourself away and have the God nature come through. Now, if you tend to do these things, this is why it's for all of us. I just want to run through a couple of these things before we head off over onto our ordination. In terms of the personal sacrifice, hoarding wealth. These are just a couple of examples. This is not all inclusive. Just a couple of examples to just show us. Hoarding wealth. That means you trust things more than God. You need to give it up.
Amen.
And no, it doesn't say being wealthy is a problem.
No.
It doesn't say being wealthy is a problem. We don't have anybody in here wealthy, so hey, we don't have to worry about that. But
amen.
It doesn't say being wealthy is a problem. It says hoarding wealth is the problem. Not having a freedom. I'd have tend to find out in my life and walk in the Lord that those with the least are the most generous. We just had a few people here on that Sunday that we asked for help with Friends of the Unborn and came up with almost $1,000. And joyfully. Not, oh, now here we go, another program, another whatever. It's joyfully. And you know what can be done joyfully? Because those that are not hanging on to what they have in their lives, whether it's money or stuff, know that God's going to take care of them. We who live before God have seen. You give out this hand how many times? Now, it doesn't happen overnight. The day you give your heart to the Lord, this ain't going to be happening, honey. This is the process of the journey. You at some point are going to understand God knows my needs. He also wants me to be very generous with what He's given to me.
Amen.
I have a beautiful house. And for almost all the years I've lived in it, someone else has lived in it with me. I currently have a young family living there now. I went over the list. I think there were like 50-some people over the last 30 years that have been there. And some of them have challenged my spiritual existence. And that's why God had to move in. So don't be surprised some of your relatives come in town more frequently, folks, because you need to change. I need to change. But it's the spiritual discipline of sacrifice. If we get that underlying, and there's no one that knows sacrifice any better than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you suffered the inconvenience of not having your favorite cereal, you know? I mean, you suffered the inconvenience of, oh my gosh, someone has to pick me up because my car doesn't work. or the inconvenience of, oh, I have to go pick up somebody else because their car doesn't work. Yeah, that's real suffering. We have no idea what sacrifice is. Especially in this country, we're bloated with abundance. An abundance that I believe with all of my heart has come from God because we used to honor Him. You watch as some of that abundance might be changing, a little paucity coming to that amount of abundance. But we who remain with Him, there's point after point made in the Scriptures that God will take care of His. You will have, I don't care if you have a cup of rice and you're feeding 8 people, they're going to eat. And He might even make it taste like steak, just for Ted. I have no idea. Ted keeps trying to convince me there's meat in heaven. But anyways, I'm a vegetarian, he's a meat eater, we're going to go from there. None of it makes any difference up there. It really doesn't. Get the sacrifice going. So, now, who do you trust? That's another thing in terms of personal sacrifice. You trusting your husband? You trusting your wife? You trusting your best friend? You trusting your pastor? Give it all up, God says. Lay it down. And you got to go before I say, God, I don't even know what I'm holding on to. You got to be that open. But I want to lay it down, so show it to me. I guarantee He will show you what you're holding on to. He will guarantee it. Now, is there any material thing in your possession that you couldn't just do without? Ask the Lord about that. If there is, you better be careful. Give it up. I mean, I have little mementos and stuff like that. Little notes that the students have written me over the years and little things like that. I have little stuffed animals that have meaning to me. I'm not hanging on to them, but, you know, the little 3-year-old that lives at my house hides half the stuff. And I go, where's my bear? Where's my bear? It's supposed to be over here on my bed. Where's my bear? I said, I don't know where it is. She goes, I know where it is. She always knows where she hides it. You know, just little things. It might sound like a little silly thing, but God wants to get you right down. Is there anything you're holding on to that you can't just let it go? Help me, God. Because if I'm not faithful in the little things, I am not going to be faithful in the big things. And that's what's so, so important. Now, this is another one. Oh, we don't want to hear this one. Relational sacrifice. Relationships that cause your relationship with God to decline, you better give it up. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go away forever, but you better make sure you're not hanging on to that. Oh, and our young people, so many times our precious young people, but I might lose my friends if I do this or if I don't do that. Give it up. Lay that on the altar of sacrifice. If those friends are going to lead you to hell, you don't need them. You ask God to replace them with ones that are going to be strong and godly and powerful, that you can work together as a team, as the next generation to bring this nation back to its knees. And back to an honoring of our great God. Marriage partners that walk away from you, give it up. And it doesn't mean that you leave them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you holding on to, I don't know what to do and I'm going to be alone. And the finances change. Give it up. Give it up. Let God work it out. How many times when you give it over, those people in relational difficulties, when you give that up to the Lord, He changes those relationships. You trying to tinker with it is impossible. It's like you trying to do neurosurgery. You are going to kill the one you're working on. That's especially true in marriage. You've got to let God show the way. Now, there often is godly counsel. There's prayer. There's all sorts of things that are going to be brought into that mix. Yes. But stop trying to fix it. You have to give it up. Another one, clinging to adult children. I've seen this sometimes. They're 50 years old. They're still living in your house. What is your problem? Unless they're disabled, you know, what's going on? And some people, they're so clinging to this, they will not make that relational sacrifice to let them live a right and a proper life. Now, there's nothing wrong with living with your parents because there's certain circumstances that will come up in your life. I thank God for my parents. They're both in heaven now. Hallelujah. But they gave us strength and they told us, listen, we want you to make it out there. We can't help you financially. I'm the oldest of 9. Hello, we can't pay for your college education. 7 of us got degrees. 2 of us got master's degree and 1 got a doctorate. I mean, this is from the living God. This was the message to our hearts. We can't help you, but we want you to be successful. But if life falls apart for you out there, don't stay out there. Come home. Stay here, get refreshed, get back out there again. That's the freedom we need to have before the Lord. That's the freedom we need to have with each other. People are so afraid to let go. Now, I'm not saying you let your 5-year-old go into a bar somewhere. I'm not saying to let go in that manner. You understand that. Only God can bring you through all of these understandings here. Another one is financial sacrifice as we get ready to wrap up here. Repeated generosity. That's how you cultivate it. Now, some people are generous. I tend to come from a generous line of people. I just grew up with that. We always had someone staying at our house, some relative or friend. We helped out. My mother fed more kids than she had, you know. My dad used to joke and tell us, listen, I'm opening the door at dinner. I'm letting in 9. That's all I'm responsible to feed. Make sure you're one of the 9, you know. We always were there for dinner, you know. But my parents fed. At my mother's funeral, I had young people from, young girls that were young back then, but whatever, from my high school basketball team that were coming up and giving the accolades of my mom who fed them spaghetti dinner after the games. This is a generosity I grew up in. So there's a tendency to lean toward generosity, but God wants you to be overtly generous. So if you're a real stingy person, big work. Now, if you got to be careful in this financial situation. You can give and give and give and give. I have been able to give and give and give, but there's a natural generosity. God wants to change that to his supernatural one because that's clean. Sometimes you give because you want to be recognized. Sometimes you give because you want a favor back. So you see, sometimes our giving is great, but there's an unclean motive. See, God wants your giving to be great, but he wants to have totally clean motives in there. And you can get it messed up too. You can be stupid in what you do. God's provided greatly for me as I've given out. I have a house that I own. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Over the years, and the changes in me, being in nursing and in the military, there was a totally different path I had decided on, you see. I said, God, I got this worked out. I got my retirement ready. I know where I'm going, what I'm doing. I can smell my office over at the nursing department over there at USF. Hey, I got this ready. No. Over the years, he kind of made a little change on that. Well, that changed some of the financial perspective. But God didn't change his financial perspective. I have everything and more. More than I get. My house was totally redone by a project that came up with one of my former students. And then it was not only redone on the outside, it was all redone on the inside. And then on top of all that, a number of years later, my kitchen's getting redone. I'm going, someone just gave me some money. Someone out of the blue just said, I've really been touched by what you've done and whatever. And whoa! I said, I'm going to get my kitchen done. You see, so you can keep giving out. It doesn't mean you're going to get back the same day. So don't go put limits on God. And don't go with this thing, I'm going to give $1,000 because it says sometimes I'm going to get 100-fold back. You got the wrong motive. You're going to get nothing back. You might as well keep your money. It's not going to do anything. You want a holy flow. You can count on God to take care of you. God has provided so much. But if you live this as a sacrificial servant life, you will be challenged. And we're going to finish up with these last few things. Listen to everything that God tells you to do. But the adversary, Satan, hates it when we put God above all. So you can just count on him working overtime to make sure you get either delayed in or totally stop practicing the discipline of sacrifice. You got to shut that off. Take every thought captive and bring it under the anointing. Jesus will never tell you to be stingy, ever.
That's right.
He will never tell you to be selfish. He'll tell you to have a sacrifice, to give it up. Now, again, your acquaintances, your family and friends are going to think you're nuts for not going full tilt for stuff. I mean, there's been huge changes in Ted's life. There's things he's put aside in order to go on that doesn't look maybe as financially or physically fruitful as other things. And your family will often scoff at you, and your friends will scoff at you. My family went nuts when I got out of the military after 11 years. My dad said, you only have 9 left. Just stay in. God, I can't. This is a compulsion I have in here. I can't explain it, Dad. I can't explain it to my friends. I lost a lot of friends because I didn't continue doing what they were doing. But some of them were touched by what God did in my life. And 30 years later, I find out that they came to know Jesus because of what he did in my life. I didn't know that. If you're out there trying to get accolades for what you do, you should not know what God is doing. You should just have a fullness of joy of him flowing out of you and depend on him to do the doings. And don't sit there saying, oh, somebody came to know the Lord because I spoke to them, like notches on your gun. God's been working on him for 25 years before you met him in that elevator and said you want to have your life come to the Lord. The glory goes to everything that God has been doing.
Amen.
So don't think it's you and your articulation and your holiness on saving people. God said, I don't want that anyone's going to perish. So he's been very busy making sure he touches the hearts. But it's up to them. He's perfectly good. But he's also perfectly just, so the choice has to be yours, or else he can't have judgment if you don't choose. If he forces something on you, there can be no judgment. See, he's perfectly good. People say, oh, everyone's going to go to heaven. Ah, he's perfectly just. So the two of them have to be together. We never understand that perfection. We always give it here, give it. He is perfect. His plan is perfect. So even though you might be surprised who you see in heaven, like we shared earlier. Ted, we're sharing that in Sunday school about that story. Somebody goes up to heaven, and they're all real quiet. And he said, oh, I didn't know that one. I didn't know that one made it. Oh, my gosh. But he asked St. Peter, and he says, how come they're all so quiet? He says, well, they're all in shock because they didn't know you were going to be here. You know, so that's kind of how it goes. So if you go for this sacrificial life, you're not going to be looking at others. You're going to be looking at you and God, and you're going to go on from there. And there's another one, your mind. Ooh. If you're going to be the sacrificial servant life, your mind is going to try and make you feel like your sacrifice is making you look the fool. Pay no attention to it. Throw that thing away. Now, your flesh, this is another one. I just want to make a point on that. God will test you, so you don't have to worry about testing yourself and putting yourself in testing circumstances. Your flesh will say, and this is excellent, God says, I want you to be generous. So your flesh says, oh, if giving away a little is good, then giving away everything must be better. That happened to me. I first came to know the Lord, and I'd never read the Bible. I was 30 years old. I never read the Bible. I opened up the Bible and I read someplace where it said, give everything to the poor. I was in the military. I had stuff from all over the world. I had things from Germany, things from Spain, things from England. I had so many China Noritake things from Japan. All this stuff, my house was stuffed with it. I was in a little townhouse up there in New Jersey at McGuire Air Force Base. I read that scripture. I call my family. I go, hey, I've got a few things here. Would you like to just come and choose them? My sister Ann sent two of my brothers down with a U-Haul truck. There's a whole ton of stuff that my family loved. They took away my big chest, my oak chest table, and my oil paintings that were as big as that screen, and, you know, in Japan, and they took the Noritake, and they took some of the furniture, and they took the leather, and they took the stool, and they took the chest, and I see this U-Haul, and filling up, and I'm going, wow, this feels so good, you know? Then they pull away. I felt so good. I read it right there, and it said, give everything away to the poor, and then I sat down, and about a week later, I said, God, I don't have anything. You know what I heard? It was so beautiful. On this wonderful journey, God will never call you stupid, even though you are. I said, God, why'd you have me give away all this stuff? And he just said to me, I never told you to give away anything. That's right. I had made an assumption. God was giving examples. He's talking about freedom. He gave examples. It was so powerful to me. I go, ooh. I better make sure that when I come up with a brilliant idea, it's yours. So you take every thought captive. So be careful. When I'm talking about this generosity, be really careful. You got the adversary. You got the world. You got the flesh. And you got the devil trying to come in and spoil this pure generosity and sacrifice that God is talking about. So don't listen to yourself either. But do listen to this, though. I didn't do that either. I don't know how this little transitions are coming in here. On this slide, I'm going to end up with what we started with, Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And it ends up with, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even unto death. Amen. Just do it. God bless you all.